Tara Stang is one of the workshop presenters at this year's Back to Basics Conference in Pine River. Tara works for Man Lake Limited, a bee supply business in Hackensack, and she's on the phone with us this morning to help introduce us to beekeeping. You know, I have known about Man Lake for a number of years, that it existed and that it was in Hackensack, but I really didn't understand its place in the beekeeping world. Can you tell us a little bit about Man Lake?
Yeah, I sure can. Well, we were established in 1984 by Jack and Betty Thomas. We supply all the woodenware for your beehives, anything in beehives like feeders, any extra equipment, your bee suits. We actually have bees for pickup in the spring. Usually that's about the first week in May. People can pre-order packaged bees, and then they can then come up here at Hackensack, do a little window shopping, and get some bees as well.
Bees to me are just, I don't know about Katie here, but they're a little bit scary because they have a sting, you know, and in spite of that, a lot of people want to try beekeeping. And what are the benefits of keeping bees?
It's a fun hobby. It's a great thing to do outside, kind of brings you back to a little bit of, you know, your little mini farming as your little equalness you're going on. And so you have your beehives, you can have them near the house, I mean, within, you know, 100 feet of the house, they really don't bother you that much. In the fall, they get a little more aggressive of their hive, but otherwise, you know, I can walk out to my beehives within just a couple feet of them and they don't bother me. It's more of when you're opening the hive and, you know, examining things that the bees are going to come out and swarm you. So that aspect, they're not that scary. But the things you can get out of beekeeping is the experience, the joy of it. You also can get honey. Who doesn't love honey? And, you know, a lot of things you can do is the wax and the cappings of it. I make homemade soap. I make homemade wax burners. And you can put them in skin products like soaps and lotions, lip balms, and you can really utilize that product.
Do people keep bees in town?
You can. The big thing now is in a lot of the big cities, they're doing rooftop bees. Is what they're doing is like on a big apartment building, they're actually putting them up top the roof. And so they can fly off, go venture off to the flowers, but they're not, you know, no one, they're not bugging anyone. No one's near them. But you can keep them in town. Each town has their own requirements of, you know, you either have to have your neighbor's permission or you just have to have them so many feet from another person or a fence around them.
You had mentioned earlier that people could pick up bees in Hackensack in May. What would it be like if I went to pick up bees?
What it is, you know, you'd want to have your beehive already set up and established and ready to go at home. And then you call and you pre-order bees. And what that is they're in a package so they can't hurt you. They're in a box with a screen around it. You know, they can't sting you. So you can just pick them up. You can just set them in your car and just bring them home and then install them into your hive.
What are bees like? What is their personality like?
You know, it's kind of hard because each one's, you know, each thing's different. It's not really their particular personality. It's more of what's going on at the time that's going to make a bee act a certain way. So, I mean, you have your bees that are, you know, your nurse bees, and all they're going to be doing is taking care of the larva. So, I mean, they're just going back and forth on the frames, taking care of the queen, taking care of the eggs and the larva, and caring for that. You have your worker bees. You have your bees that are going out into flight. So, I mean, they're just flying to flower, so they don't even, you know, pay any attention to the human itself. And then the ones that could be a little more aggressive are your guard bees that are going to be in the front of the hive that, you know, unless you're not actually touching the hive or going into the hive, they're not going to bug you.
So we are talking with Tara Stang from Man Lake in Hackensack. What kind of equipment would somebody need to get started with honeybees?
There's a few things you would need to at least get started. One would be your colony, which would be your wooden boxes with your wood frames or plastic frames, and you have foundation in them. And on that foundation is what the bees will draw off of, you know, and put their honey in, their eggs in, and they'll need just that just to live in. Things for yourself, you might need a beekeeping suit, a jacket maybe, gloves, something to protect your face and your hands usually is at least the minimum you want to do, a smoker to use on the bees, a feeder for the spring and fall, and different small like hand tools that you'll need to work in the hive is at least the minimum basics you would need.
Mm-hmm. And so we get set up and you put bees in a hive, and then what happens? What happens in that first year that you set up a hive?
A lot of things can happen. The biggest thing is when you first put your bees in, you've got to feed them like sugar water, which is one part water, one part sugar. Or we sell a mixed blend already that has like health additives to it that we call ProSweet. And you would put that in the feeder, which is inside the hive, and you make sure that they have a source of food and a pollen source until the flowers are blooming, and just to get your hive going. Once your hive gets going, you don't have to actually want to stop, because if you're going to collect the honey, you don't want honey being your sugar water. You want it the pollen and the nectar from the flowers. Uh-huh. So in the midsummer, you know, you're just kind of keeping an eye on them, making sure that they're still doing good. There's nothing wrong with their hive. You also want to treat for varroa mites. That's one of the biggest things for beekeeping that is now going on. That's kind of a harmful thing. So you have to treat for that and watch for that. Then you can extract your honey in late summer, beginning fall. And then you'd want to treat your bees again, feed them again, and get them ready for winter. And then up here in Minnesota, we don't do much with our bees in the wintertime. You want to wrap the hives, give them some winter patties or some homemade sugar patties just to get them through the winter. And then, you know, maybe go visit them on a warm day in March or April, but you pretty much let them be all winter long because you don't want to be opening that hive.
Ah, what are these mites that you were talking about?
They are a varroa mite, and what they are is they will actually get into the hive or get onto the bee when the bee is out and about, maybe going to another near another colony or something. It can get this varroa mite on its back, and what it will do then is it will lay eggs actually where the bee needs to lay eggs and push the bees out.
Oh,
and so what it does is it kind of takes over the hive, and then if you don't have new eggs and larvae being born, your beehive will eventually die because bees only live for so long that they have to repopulate so often.
And we're expecting some cold weather here. And when cold weather hits, does that make it harder for the hive to survive the winter?
It does. But, you know, the hive does, you know, they cluster together in one big ball in the hive. So they're not moving in the wintertime. And you typically wrap your hive in insulation, and you have honey or some kind of a food source in them so they can readily just kind of move with the food source. As they eat it, they move up the hive. The cold does affect them, but as long as they stay in the hive, they could be okay. The biggest thing that will get them in the winter that will take the hive out is going to be your moisture, starving to death, a mouse gets in your hive. If they have any diseases, that will definitely, they won't be able to survive the winter. And in the spring, when we get the warm and cold snaps, that sometimes is very hard on the bees because they become active and then the cold hits and it actually kills them.
And what about bears? Do people have trouble with that around here?
We do. Bears, you've got to have an electric fence up, because if a bear comes into your hive, they're going to rip apart your hive. They're going to eat everything. They don't care if they get stung, and they're going to break all your woodenware. I have a farm mesh fence around my bees, and then another 3 feet around that, I have two strands of electric wire to keep them out.
Oh. Tell us about your bees.
Oh, my bees, they were really good this year. My bees were very, very easygoing. We had a good honey season. My family actually gets into it. My husband came out there, and he learned a lot about installing the bees and what it takes to, you know, care for the bees. He didn't realize there was that much work into it. And my daughter likes it. She's a little nervous to actually go in the hive, but she'll come out and she'll watch me as I'm looking through things and I'm showing her things in the hive. Or she loves it when I bring an observation hive home, you know, if I'm doing something for work, and she can look at it and she can see all the bees climbing around, you know, over the wax, different, seeing the eggs and the larvae. So the whole family likes the beekeeping.
Oh, wow. How do you get the honey out?
Well, there's a couple different processes of doing it. You would take what I was talking about earlier, is that frame out of the wooden box that has the foundation on it, which they have now drawn it out, capped it, and put the honey in it. You would use something, either like an uncapping knife or an uncapping scratcher, and you would scratch the top of the wax pieces off of these little hexagons. And you would open that up, and you can either put it in an extractor, and what it does is it whips it around and whips the honey out of it in a circular motion. and then that'll drain, and then you can put it into a bucket and filter it or process it how you, you know, how you're wanting to. Some people will cut it off completely and have cut comb honey, and they'll actually eat the wax species as well because it's safe to eat that. And you can just scrape it off too with a spoon if you wanted to do it that way.
And then how do you store it?
You simply can jar it. What the biggest thing is, you want to make sure that you don't have too high of moisture rating in your honey. I do a light filtering just to get any like pieces out, like bee pieces or dirt or any debris in it, just a light filtering of it. And then I just store it in a glass bottle with a seal and put it on the shelf, and it'll last for years. If it starts to crystallize, you can just lightly warm it up, and then it uncrystallizes and becomes a liquid honey instead of looking kind of sugarish. And it has its own aids in it that helps prevent it from fermenting.
Tara, that is very interesting. And I know a lot of people seem to be getting into beekeeping. Do you see the demand for hives and bees going up?
We have been in a raise right now of people. A lot of hobbyists are getting into it, and it seems like that keeps growing. And the local schools, I think, are also helping, because we get calls from the schools and libraries wanting us to go talk to them. And it's great, because then we get to go teach the kids that, you know, are interested in it and hear about it. And their parents have always thought, well, I thought that that would be something fun to do. And the kids are, and the whole family gets into it. So it becomes a family activity. And so I think that the schools and just having the parts and availability of beekeeping is making it easier for people, and so it seems to be at a rise.
Tara Stang is one of the workshop presenters at Back to Basics, which takes place on Saturday, February 2nd this year in Pine River. The intro to beekeeping session starts at 1 o'clock. And Tara, thank you so much for telling us about bees today.
Oh, no problem. Anytime.
All right. There are 45 workshops at Back to Basics this year, and you need to register for the ones you want to attend in advance. You can find out more at happydancingturtle.org. And this is Local Food on Northern Community Radio, connecting you to pollinators.